the killer would expect to be there. Yontif, they have in common is the sovereign fact that the killer is Mahner and Beishana is Mekel in these three Machlekes. The Nishrosa, the three Machlekes, is regarding a basis should not be on. The hand lays an egg on Yontif. The Beishana said that you're permitted to eat it. Why not? The kosher part of the egg doesn't have any halakha, it can't be traced. What the Bible is, Machlekes is nothing wrong with it. The Shilom say, we don't know why, the Shilom say you're not permitted to eat the egg, there was another one. So the Gemara can't figure out, the Gemara has seen it, what's wrong? So we run through the Gemara quickly, we'll have to take each shot separately now. The Gemara gives four different explanations as to why the Shilom say this. Let's go again the first one. The first explanation was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that it's an issue of Muktzah. What is Muktzah all about? So the original Muktzah is the Minatar is forbidden to carry on Shabbos, and forbidden to carry on Yom Tov also. We all think that Yom Tov you're allowed to carry. It's not so. Yom Tov you're forbidden to carry unless you have to carry food and so forth on that. So you have to carry something to so forth on Yom Tov. It's called Mitzvah. Any malacha that you're permitted to violate, to cook food or to carry food, anything you're permitted to, any malacha you're permitted to violate for the purpose of Yom Tov, you're also permitted to violate for other Tzorcha Hayom Tzav. It's great news today on Yom Tov. You're permitted to carry a palace on Yom Tov, maybe carry a matzah, sit or whatever, you're permitted to carry food. If you're not allowed to carry stuff, you have your pocket loaded down with your cheese or other things, that's permitted to carry whatever, your car keys. Keys that you clearly don't need. So that's not permitted to carry on Yom Tov. Even a shawl and bus, and a shulchan, you're buying the keys to the house. So you're permitted to carry the keys to the house on Yom Tov. Maybe Yom Tov should be the same as Shabbos. That you should use the Shabbos cloth or fighting or whatever, Shabbos kit. It's not proper to carry anything, you're not allowed to carry anything on Yom Tov unnecessarily, only the Tzorcha Hayom Tov, the Tzorcha Hayom Tov. So since it's forbidden to carry on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, you know, so to strengthen that Yisro of Yisro, the Chachamim introduced the Gzeira of Muktzah, that you're not permitted to handle anything that you don't really need. He really wanted to forbid us from handling anything, but then life would be impossible. You wouldn't be able to eat your food, you wouldn't be able to move a towel to sit it. That would be able to handle clothes. And he said, no, clothing, you're permitted to handle table and chairs, you're permitted to food and books and flooring, whatever it is, you're allowed to move. But whatever is a piece of junk that you've got absolutely no need to handle at all, so that they forbid you from moving around. Very shamayosi, let's get carried out into the street. So they forbid us from handling junk in the house. That's what carried into the street. So the original dealing with it is known as is regarding something that's junk. How does one define what the halakh was considered junk? The Gemara says we mentioned it. The Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos, on the first lap in Parakala Kalim, the Gemara says whatever is not Mekabal Tumah. Things that are Mekabal Tumah obviously are kosher the same. Things that are not Mekabal Tumah are junk. That's why they're not Mekabal Tumah because it's a piece of junk. So both Mekabal Tumah. There's only four things in the whole wide world that are Kabbal Tumah. It's Ogun, Mekalim, Ogun, and Mashkin. Ogun and Mashkin are treated as two different things. Not that it's food, it's Mashkin is one din, and Ogun is a different din, and it's two different halachas. Ogun is one of the Kabbal Tumah, if it was Hukshul Kabbal Tumah. If the apple was never in court with water, if it was never washed up with one of the Zion Mashkin, one of the seven Mashkin, then it's not the Kabbal Tumah. Mashkin don't have to have Hukshul Kabbal Tumah. If they have some orange juice, apple juice, whatever, it doesn't have to have Hukshul Kabbal Tumah. Mashkin on the Kabbalah without any hekshah. So that's what they want to consider the four different categories of things that are in the Kabbalah Tumah. There's Odom and Kalim, that's clearly two different things. Then you have Oklum and you have Mashkin. Oklum and Mashkin are different. Oklum is the Kabbalah Tumah, it's Oklum. And Mashkin, the Kabbalah Tumah, it's Mashkin. It's a different thing. Two different things. Okl, when it becomes Tumah, can transmit the Tumah to something else. Mashkin, once it becomes Tumah, cannot transmit Tumah to something else when I tell you. Only the Rabbah. So they clearly four different categories, Ogun, Mekalim, Ogun, Mashkin. Whatever doesn't fall under one of these four categories is not Mekabal Tumah because the halacha considers it a piece of junk. And whatever is junk is Muktzah on Shabbos. As we mentioned last week, what's one example of junk that is not had? Cash, money. Money is not considered junk. Because it's not Ogun, it's not Ogun, it's not Mashkin, and it's not Kalim either. A clean means something which you can use. A fork, a knife, you can use it to a plate, a briefcase, something you can use. Money you don't use. I give it to you, you give me something else in exchange. That's not called money. Someone said last week, well, maybe as long as there, you have a sheet that you put in a coin and something comes out, maybe the money is considered a clue. That could be something. Unless they take the money. Take the money considered a piece of junk. That's the way my mother would look on it. Nothing is here to so whatever the piece of junk that they had, a bottle, had a bottle of glass, bottle of glass, so the tiny little pieces of glass that was junk, so that looked good. I peeled an egg, and I had the eggshell, so the eggshell was looked good. Let's say I finished eating the chicken, they have chicken bones, so the chicken bones are like a banana, the broken ears. Like a banana is not mukta. First of all, here there's a slight discrepancy between Hilchot Kabbalah Tumah and mukta. Hilchot Kabbalah Tumah, the halachas are the only Hilchot Odom is in Kabbalah Tumah. Whatever is Makkah Behemoth is not in Kabbalah Tumah. Otherwise it would be very, very difficult to make a kosher sukkah. If you notice there's a deal with the staff, in order to have a kosher sukkah, the staff has to be number one, you do the karka, it has to have grown from the ground. You can't use metal. It doesn't go from the ground. Number two, it has to be polished, has to be detached. If you have the branches that still attached to the tree, it's no good. And number three, it has to be Bobashem and Kabbalatuma. You can't use apples and pears and oranges. Whatever the Kabbalatuma is no good. But then the Shulchan Aruch, Michael Behemna is not the Kabbalatuma, and therefore you can use Tua, therefore you can use Tua grass as Kab. If it didn't really be that Michael Behemna is the Kabbalatuma, it'd be very difficult to ever have a special cook look at it. I have to have only bamboo, okay. I said only bamboo or some kind of wood that the behemoth is only. But no, nothing that Michael behemoth is not metabolism. But yet, with respect to mukta, it's not a perfect equation. More than the Shabbos said, roughly speaking, the laws of mukta patterned after the idea of Kabbalah Tumah. Whatever is junk and it's not Kabbalah Tumah, it's considered mukta because you don't need it. There's no need to handle it on Shabbos. So if you don't have to, so don't handle it from Zeresh Shemiyah. On Shabbos, though, Michael behemoth is important. You have to feed the behemoth. So true with respect to Hilchot Kabbalah Tumah. Michael Behemoth is not Kabbalah Tumah, but on Shabbos they felt that life would be much too difficult if they declare Michael Behemoth as Mukta. So they said, Michael Behemoth is also Michael. They said Hilchot Mukta, Michael Behemoth is Michael, and it's not Mukta. So what happens when the person finishes eating the chicken and he's left with bones? He didn't just chew the bones up, and the bones could be fit through a door, you'd feed them through a door. We're going to get into the details probably tonight, so then it's Michael Behemoth, so that should not be looked off him. Let's say someone has a teva, some people chew up the bones and they're left absolutely nothing. Even a behemoth wouldn't eat, even a girl wouldn't eat. So then it's Mukta Mamash. Let's say you steal another fruit or a vegetable in the field is not Michael Behemoth, and it's not Michael Behemoth, no one's going to eat that field. So that's Mukta Mamash. Whenever you have something that's absolutely junk, garbage, whenever you throw. Sometimes you throw away, people eat the half the steak and they throw the half the steak into the garbage. So that's not Mukhtar, that's still Michael Oda. Except that you don't want to eat it. People eat a piece of challah and they leave over. So that's not their junk, that's still Michael Oda. So you don't want to eat it. Yeah. It depends on your area. It says your muscle, chicken bones that are left over, I'm not considered mukta, we'll get into the details, not considered mukta because it's Michael our keller. What if you don't have a keller? So the Ramah says, by clogging on the trees, there are always doors around, everybody has a door. If you have this one, the X one, this one, the X one, there's always a door. So whatever is only Michael for elephants, so whatever is only Michael for ostriches, that's not mukta. If you live near the zoo, then it's not mukta. If you live far away from the zoo, then it is mukta. There are no elephants in your neighborhood, there are no ostriches in your neighborhood. And it's not called Michael Behemoth. But whatever is Michael of a cat, or Michael of a dog, and these are common animals that you find to climb on your house or the next house someone has a cat or a dog. That's not called Mukta, even though you personally don't have a dog or a cat, because there is a dog or a cat available nearby. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. No? Let's say something smashes in the middle of Shabbos, it becomes Mukta in the middle of Shabbos. You're referring to the differences. It begins that if something was mukta in the beginning of Shabbos, the name mukta can't become oif mukta in the middle of Shabbos. So the Gemara later has a suffix and a suffix basis. What if in the beginning of Shabbos it was not mukta? And in the middle of Shabbos, for some reason or another, it became mukta for a while. And then its status of mukta disappears. So do I say, leave with this katsoi for 10 minutes in the middle of Shabbos? It remains mukta for the rest of the day, but he says, no, that din that if it's mukta for a while, it remains mukta till the end, until the end, that's only if it was mukta in the beginning of Shabbos, and that's how he passed it. That din of legal discussory, since it began as mukta, remains mukta to the end of the day, even though the reason for being muktish has already disappeared, it's not like it was muktah between the fayyam. It was muktah in the middle of the day. That's called ein muktah v'chati shabbos. People make mistakes. Some of the Achrayim made a mistake. Some of the Achrayim made a mistake about that. A lot of Balakot make a mistake. They think ein muktah v'chati shabbos. Whatever was not muktah in the beginning of the day can't become muktah in the middle of the day. Whatever garbage you have wasn't muktah in the beginning of the day. It can't become muktah in the middle of the day. It's not correct. One of the Achrayim made that mistake. So the later Achrayim will point out that's not what it says in the Gemara. The phrase "ein muktzah v'chatzis shabbos" if you didn't have muktzah for half a day, only means if it became muktzah in the middle of shabbos, and then the sibah tahaktur disappeared, the reason for it being muktzah no longer applies. And now I should say, well, it's no muktzah, no more reason why it should be muktzah. So it should not be muktzah anymore. Again, it depends whether it was in the beginning of shabbos if it was muktzah or in the middle of shabbos. If it only became muktzah in the middle of shabbos, and then the sibah, the reason for the muktzah disappears, then the status of muktzah disappears as well. A cold time that it is muktzah is muktzah. Even in the middle of shabbos. So again, the basic din of muktzah is if you have a piece of junk, you have broken glass, unless you're afraid someone's going to get hurt, then you're committed to move the broken glass. Otherwise, the broken glass is muktzah. As we mentioned, if you can sweep it with a heavy kick, it would be a force that's invisible because it says Shulchan Aruch. It's also looked as only ought to be out. But if you sweep it with a broom, you may not be handling it with your fingers. It's also called the yad because the broom is an extension of your yad. That's like a yadar ispa. But if you're afraid that someone's going to get hurt, there are a lot of people that someone's going to get hurt, stop on the glass. So then the Gemara says that it's invisible to handle the muktzah. The mokum chashash shwele. You can prevent people from getting cut by moving the muktzah. If you have some junk, that's the original muktzah. That is no dispute. Everybody agrees that that's the muktzah. That you're not permitted to handle it on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. They are Hashem and Yotzi. They make carry. What happens if you have, we said last week, a set of papers of condition that's not junk? Perfectly good dishes, but they have beautiful silverware that they only say when I have a share of office, when I make space, I have fancy jets, I have stemware, I have, let's say I have ice cream in the freezer that's set aside for a party on Sunday or something, I have food, either Oakland or Kalen, which are in very good condition, but it's clear that I don't have in mind at all, it's clear that I didn't have in mind to use it on show. But that is a machlekes of Shimon and Rav Yehuda, whether there's an Isa Muktzah, there's not an Isa Muktzah. The Gemara says Rav Shimon doesn't believe in Muktzah, Rav Yehuda does believe in Muktzah. Not that Rav Shimon doesn't need all a Muktzah. And you're telling that the piece of junk, and everybody agrees that that's Muktzah, but they argue, they're telling that it's not junk, the ice cream is delicious. In the face of the conditions, or the stemware, or the fancy whiskey silverware that I say, if you share a block, then I don't have any share a block scheduled this Shabbos. So this is not junk, this is expensive stuff. But it's clear that I didn't have in mind to use these kelim or to use this earthen on Shabbos. In that case, is the machlokes of Shimon and Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda says that that's true with muktzah because he didn't have any hakana. You have to have hakana. Not only is a piece of junk muktzah, even if the food or if something is open or something is tailored, and you didn't have a mind to use it, you didn't have mind to eat it on Shabbos, you didn't have mind to use it, then it's also muktzah. And Rav Shimon says no, that the ice cream in the freezer that's set aside for the birthday party, or the place of the dishes, or the tuxedo that I plan to wear at a wedding, and I have no wedding on Shabbos, so Rav Shimon says that that's not Muktzah. Yehuda says it is Muktzah, Rav Shimon says it is not Muktzah. Fine. So now the Gemara has a machlokes on Moroni, how to understand Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon say that the ice cream in the freezer that they decide for the birthday party on Sunday, and the place of the dishes, and say it's not place of the dishes that I have in the cabinet, why does Rav Shimon have that that's not Muktzah? So there is a machlokes in the Gemara. Rav Nachman is the first of the four explanations in the Mishnah. Rav Nachman gives a very simple understanding, a very simple interpretation, that Rav Shimon denies the requirement for Hakam. He says whatever is okay, whatever is clay, that's not garbage, it's not junk, because there's no reason why I should declare it as Muktzah. The Echol is Roy Lachilo. Even Lachilo Sodom, Lachilo Behemet. And the clay is Roy Lishtamshur. There is no reason why it should be declared as Muktzah. Rav Shimon held that you don't need Hakonim. If the thing is that, the thing is that you don't need Hakonim. Rav Yehuda says no. You have to have two conditions. Number one, if the thing is junk, then it's Muktzah. Number two, even if it's not a piece of junk, it's an Ochel, or it's a clay, you have to have Hakonim. If you don't have Hakonim, if it's not clear that you made plain to use it, let's say if I felt the plan to use it, she has in mind consciously to use every single place in the house, she has in mind to use all the food in the house. What if they decide to eat some food that normally they don't usually eat? So that's not a problem. They have a beautiful interruption, but that doesn't pose a problem. You assume that any food or any oil in the house, done, you assume that they have in mind to eat anything or to use any kelim that may be around the house. But if you have kelim that basically the dishes that clear that they don't plan to use it, in the beginning of Shabbat it's clear that they didn't plan to use it. Then in the middle of Shabbat they decide they're going to buy it. Instead of placing the dishes, I'll make this comment. But then it changed their mind in the middle. If you have this ice cream in the freezer, they said it's out for the birthday party, and they clearly had a mind not to use it on Shabbat, they're going to save it. Then it changed their mind in the middle of the day, but then it's the makhlokes of the beauty of Shabbat. But again,
if you try to use
it, you're going to use it. Are never included in
the
freezer.
Right.
Because that's the... Right. That's what it says. Farm never put in the meat pool. No. Food is pulled down on Shabbos, and it's forbidden for them to do that. The only thing we use in the Megillah for is for prayer, some give the sit in motion in the Megillah. But then it says that since you're forbidden to read the Megillah, and the only use that it has is the length of the Megillah. You never sit in the Megillah chapter. We learn from a printed Megillah, we don't learn from a written Megillah. So then the Megillah has a status of it. So it's clear that it's forbidden to use it. It's forbidden to use it for the one and only Hishtamshus that it has. It only has the Hishtamshus of lighting.
Yes?
So that's it. There's no weakness in the Megillah. I don't think any book is looked on Shabbos. Unless it's forbidden to read a book on Shabbos. But then it's there. And there's a dispute in Shulchan Aruch. There's a dispute. The Rambam, who is the great scholar who studied all the sciences of the world, says that it's forbidden to study any secular study in Shabbos. And the Rajbo, who made a chayim against secular study, in general, says that you're permitted to study secular study on Shabbos. Not to be understood. On the weekday, the Rambam says, you're not allowed to study secular study. On Shabbos, you're permitted to read a scientific book. But the Melech, you don't like the Rambam, that it's forbidden to read a secular book. That's an object that has no Hishtamshus today. So the only thing you use a book for is to read. Sometimes people read a book when they have a baby. But normally a book is used to read it. According to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, would be looked for. We're going to have to discuss that. What if you have something that's low Hishtamshus for one thing, and new Hishtamshus for another? We're going to have to discuss that with the Gemara. So let's go again. So there are two ways to understand the machlokes of Shimon and Rabbanan. Again, by the patron of the additions of the ice cream from the birthday party, the Rebbe says that it's muktzeh. And even though you change your mind in the middle of Shabbat, you want to make the patron of the additions commentary. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. It's muktzeh. The ice cream is freezing. You change your mind. You're going to buy different ice creams for this party. And you want to use this now on Shabbos for Shabbos Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's muktzeh. You're not allowed to. Why? Because even though it's not junk, even though it's erchol or kli, it's still it's clear that it has no, it's not mukham, it has no hafana for Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says, we pass like Rabbi Shimon says that it's not muktzeh. So the question is, what exactly is Pshat and Rabbi Shimon? Here's a major machlokes Rav Nachman against everybody else. And this is going to be why we don't talk about Rav Nachman. We hold that his pshat is wrong. So his pshat is a simple pshat, but unfortunately it's wrong. His pshat is that Rav Shimon doesn't require hakana. Rav Shimon says if it's junk, it's mukta. If it's not junk, it's not mukta, even though you want mechan yochan, you want mechan yichle. If it's not junk, it's not mukta. That's his opinion. And the other Amoraim hold that he's wrong. The other Amoraim hold that basically Rav Yehuda and Shimon both agree in principle that in order for something not to be moved, you have to have two conditions. You have to have number one, it shouldn't be junk, should be ochel akli, ochel mashto akli, and number two, that's not enough that it's ochel mashto akli, it has to be that you have hakon. So Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda say the same thing? It has to be ochel mashto akli, and you have to have hakon. No, so they argue in the details of the nature of this hakon. Whereas Rav Yehuda requires hakon at abaylim, the Baal HaTeris, or the Baal HaOchel, or the Baal HaKli, has to be Mechanist, or there should be a Rumbid in the Muhaf that he is Mechanist. You would ask him on Erev Shabbos, he's not thinking about this. You would ask him on Erev Shabbos, do you think you're going to use the ice cream? What would he say? Do you think you're going to use the dishes? What would he say? Then he would say, no, I don't think I'm going to use it. That means that there's no Hakamas HaBayla. If you would have asked him, I may use it, whereas if you require that Ochlin and Kalim and Moshe should have Hachanasat Bayim and Hachanasat Gavre, the Pshinin is of the opinion that all Ochlin and all Kalim and all Moshe are Mucha Me'alayim. The only Hachanasat Bayim is Mucha Me'alayim. So what's the difference between the Zeta Hint and the Zeta Hair? It goes on to the same thing, that the case of bigger dishes and the ice cream for the party, the Rabbudis look for the Rabbshimon, it's not look for. What's the difference of the say? When the Rabbshimon is not look for, does it say, all those in the Kerem HaMashma, Mukhan Me'alayim, automatically Mukhan, or you say, when the Rabbshimon, no, it's not that it's automatically Mukhan, you don't need Hakona. What's the difference? It goes on to the same thing. Big difference. The difference is, what if you have food or a food that came into existence in the middle of Shabbat? Didn't exist in the beginning of Shabbat. The Banisham created something Yeshmiyah in the middle of Shabbat. Where do you have the Banisham creating something Yeshmiyah in the middle of Shabbat? The Beis Din gives you a case, huh? Beis Din Shalom to the Yom Tov? Okay, but... Mon, okay. Couple of strange cases. That's the case called Nevelat Domen. Domen came into existence in the middle of Shabbat. If I had, let's say, pieces of wood that are not dochel, are not kelim, are not mashkim, or anything, and then a goy comes and he bangs it together and makes the table and a chair. See, that's not something that came into existence in the middle of Shabbos. That existed in the beginning of Shabbos in the state of Muktzeh. It was wood. And then they had sand. Look at sand. Eitzim Avon we offer has junk. Eitzim Avon we offer. The more gives the original Muktzeh that everybody holds. A piece of junk. Eitzim Avon we offer, pebbles, whatever. Which is not a tabatum, it's a piece of junk, and then a goy takes it, whatever. Someone makes a kli out of it in the middle of Shabbos. That's not the very long dome that someone came to exist in the middle of Shabbos. It exists in the beginning of Shabbos in the state of Muktzeh. So then I say, even this Kantor of Ben Ashman, the thing for Muktzeh in the beginning of Shabbos, it remains Muktzeh throughout the rest of Shabbos. So that's not going to be a dispute. Everybody agrees. The thing we have Shimon Ben Rabbi, the kelim that were made on Shabbos are going to remain Muktzeh. But we're talking about a different thing. Something didn't exist at all in the beginning of Shabbos. Exactly, didn't exist at all. We're not talking about a bunch of without creating some creation of the iron, but something that you can label as a never gone. It looks as if it didn't exist at all in the beginning of Shabbos, and as if it came to exist in the middle of Shabbos. But the Pharisees gave that marshal that the rain in the middle of Shabbos, it was growing in the middle of Shabbos, and originally it was in the state of Gair. When it was in the clouds, it was in the state of Gair. Now it's converted to become in the state of snow or rain. So the Gemara at 1.4, the Gemara rejects it. Gemara Neir and Daphne and Hay, the place is quotes on the first and the second wide lines in the places on the first line. The Gemara 1.4 is not correct, that the rainwater should be Noelah Zomer. That if it rains in the middle of Shabbat Yontif, or it snows in the middle of Shabbat Yontif, that rain and that snow should be Muxer, because that's Noelah Zomer. That is what that says. It's not true. So the Jewish writer that says that it's not Muxer, it's not called Noelah Zomer. That would have been an example of the Noelah Zomer. So how does that apply here, let's say, the base of Shinolda? Why should I not consider that a Noelah Zomer? So the Gemara says, well, it depends what kind of a hen is it that lays the egg. If it's a hen that's on Eretz La'achila, I really plan to eat this hen, either today and Yom Tov or tomorrow, the next day. But basically, I don't have an egg farm. I'm not interested in selling eggs. Called mother, I didn't chef the egg. I'm going to lay an egg. I'm not going to blow it out in the garbage. I'm going to eat the egg also. But basically, my interest in this hen is that I want to eat that. So this hen is labeled as an oicha. So then if the hen lays an egg, then it's an oicha. They came out from another way. That's like I take a loaf of today. His mother's going to take a loaf of bread and I cut out and slice in the middle. He's going to tell me, oh, Fadam Kadosh is going to come. I started off in the middle of the Yom Tov, so they want to have a Now I have a slice, so let's call that a Noelah Zomer, or something came the HMI in the middle of nowhere, a slice of bread. I'm like, that's not a Noelah Zomer, what does that do with Muktzeh? What a Kadosh is it? That's Bruchel of Yifra, that's Eichel Shem Yifra and Mechavero. I had a big Eichel, and then another piece of Eichel came out from the big Eichel. Slice is different before it was in the shape of a Chal, and now it's in the form of a slice. So that's not called Muktzeh. So we are denying in this case, I had a hand that's a Meretz La'chila, and a girl that's a Meretz La'chila, a man in the middle of Yom Tov before had a chance to shech his hand, it lays an egg. And so that the egg that came out from the hen, even though the hen is fleshy in the end, the egg is tiger, still I call it like a slice of challah that I cut out from a big challah. If that has nothing to do with Noelah, nothing to do with Muktzeh. a piece of oichol, and I took out another piece of oichol from it. So that's not mitzvah. So when would it be a case of noilat gomor? If you have a tanavil, it's a medan, it's a gado, base skinning. The fellow has an egg form. He's not interested in shechting his tanavil. When the tanavil is going to reach the age of 120 and it's not going to give any eggs anymore, then he's not going to throw in the garbage, then of course he's going to shech the tanavil. But his main interest, his main desire is right now, later on, so he's interested in getting eggs from this tanavil. So the tanavil is not labeled now as oichol, it's labeled as a machine. It's a tanavil, it's a machine, it's a fleshy, it's a fleshy machine. So it's a machine. It's a golden hand. It's a mishkanot. It's a golden hand that lays eggs. So the Gemara says, if you have a hand that's labeled as a machine, tanavil is on that, this is a godly basis, and it lays an egg, that egg is a noilat gomor. I have an oichol that came with the Yeshayahu. Why, but the egg was always an oichol? It doesn't matter. Originally the egg was part of the whole tanavil, it was labeled as part of the machine. Now machine, part of a machine converted into an oichol. Let's say I have a machine, once through in the middle of Yom Tov, converts into an oichol. But that would be a case of noilat gomor. If you would have such a thing, the screw would convert a handle, would convert it to food, that would be quite a noisome. So that would be a noilat gomor. So this has the same status as that. I had a hand, which is a metal for gabu basis. I label the whole hand as a machine, as a factory for producing eggs. And then part of the machine turned into an egg in the middle of the office. So that's called noilat gomor. So what's the deal of noilat gomor? So Rav Nachman claims, if you hold like Rav Yehuda, that Ochlum and Kelim need Hachone, so if you had Noilat Gomer, the thing came to listen to Ezechel in the middle of Shabbos, it didn't exist to Ezechel in the beginning of Shabbos. They never had any Hachone to go beyond. So Rav Yehuda would say that Noilat Gomer would be Mukta. And Rav Shimon holds that as long as it's Ochlum, as long as it's a Kli, it's not Mukta because he holds that Ochlum and Kelim don't need Hachone. It's Rav Nachman then saying, don't eat Hachone. But then even if it's Noilat Gomor, namely that this thing came into existence as Ezechel in the middle of Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos, beginning of Yom Tov, it was clean. It was part of the time of the Tamedes, the God of Eitz, and the machine. And the middle of Shabbos, middle of Yom Tov, it lays the egg, so now it's considered a Noichol. So Rav Nachman says, but it's Manda Leitz, and look, the Leitz, and all, it's all like a Shimon, that you don't eat Hachone on Earth and in Canaan. But then the Beit Mishon all the beyond the Benazi Mukta. That's where Rav Nachman claims. And he says, that is the root of the machlokes between Bisham and Bitul. Bisham say Teyakov because Bisham is whole like Rav Shimon, that they don't hold from Mukta, you don't need Hakona. So the Beit Mishon all the even though it's Noilat Gomor is not Mukta. And Bitul say Loi Teyakov because they hold like to Rav Yehuda that there's a Dina Mukta and therefore there's a Dina Noilat Gomor. The Gemara says nobody holds like Rav Nachman Pshat, he's going to be Rabbi and Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef. The other three Amoraim, they reject Rav Nachman Pshat because we disagree with him on this point. We hold that he's wrong. So Rav Shimon didn't say you don't need Hakone on Ochlum and Kelim. Rav Shimon said that all Ochlum and Kelim are Mucham Le'aleya. Not that you don't need Hakone. It's assumed that you don't need Hakone for Bailim. You don't need that the Bailim should be made. You assume that he tells Mucham Le'aleya. But what if you have a case of Ochlum and Kelim where it doesn't have it? It's not Mucham Le'aleya. Namely, it didn't exist in the beginning of Shah. It's a Noilat Gomor. If it did exist, then we consider it as if we declare it as if it didn't exist at all. It came into existence as an oichol, as a kli, in the middle of Shabbos. So then even Rav Shimon would agree that it'll be Mukta. So that's why we reject Rav Nachman's opinion. We hold that in the case of Noilat Gomor, Bein Rav Yehuda, Bein Rav Shimon, it is going to be Mukta. That's why we don't accept this shot, we don't have to accept one of the other shots. So the Gemara, after presenting the first view of Rav Nachman, the Gemara is, but doesn't that contradict something else that Rav Nachman says? That 10 lines from the bottom of Amud Aleph, and based on an Aleph, the Gemara has a new Amud Rav Nachman. Is that what Rav Nachman really holds? That the Machlokes, the Shammai B'Tzilul, is identical with the Machlokes of Yudah and Rav Shimon. But you hold, say, what? The Shammai holds the Yachel, they hold like Rav Shimon. So there's no Mukta, so there's no Noilat Gomor. You don't need Hakon on Earth in the case. And the Sulu will say, Lei Teyachol, they hold like Rav Yehuda, that there is a din of Mukta, namely, that even if it's Erechon and Kli, you need Hakon at Tabayim, and if it's Noilat Gomor, so there is no Hakon at Tabayim. So the Gemara asks, it means to say that the Shammai and the Sulu argue in this Machlokes of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, and this is the direction that the opinions go. that they fill a home like Rav Yehuda, and they shaman home like Rav Shimon, but we know that Rav Nachman himself says the reverse. Rav Nachman contradicts himself. Only Omer Rav Nachman, Hachim, is that what Rav Nachman feels? We have a Mishnah, and Maser HaShab, the end of Shabbat, because they shaman Yomim, Nabdim Yalosh Shulchan HaTomus HaKritin, and that's 8 lines from the bottom of the Yomim. The Gemara has the song, and they quote the Mishnah. Now, Dina Shulchan HaTomus HaKritin goes on the following case. Say this explains right here. If someone steals the egg, it has the eggshell on the plate. The eggshell is muktzadoma, a piece of junk. Unless you happen to have an animal that enjoys eating eggshell. But if you just have a dog or a cat, normal animal, you have to, you don't live near the zoo. If you live near the zoo, it's hard to find anything that's muktzadoma. You eat, this animal is going to eat, or that animal is going to eat. It's about nothing that's going to eat. If you have bullets, if you have something that's mamish, I don't know, bullets in the stomach, please. If you have something that's absolutely not edible by any animal, you look. So the text says like this, if you have shells of bones, or shells of seals or something that absolutely is not edible by any game in your immediate neighborhood, in your block, so then it's really mukta. There's nothing to discuss. That's for sure the only look. And so it'll be like this. I peeled an apple, or I peeled a face an orange, and the orange peel could be eaten by a dog. It's Michael Bain. But in the beginning of Shabbos, I'm not going to give the whole apple or the whole orange to the dog. In the beginning of Shabbos, I learned that this should be Michael Oven. So I say, not only is the inside of the apple, the inside of the orange Michael Oven, I say the whole apple, the whole orange is labeled in the beginning of Shabbos as Michael Oven. Then in the middle of Shabbos, when I separated the shell or the peel from the lasheli fruit, and I ate off the fruit, so then the dog Oven, in the beginning of Shabbos is Michael Oven, has now converted and turned into Michael Bain. That is now Machlokes HaKohanim. Michael Odom Shemishtanu Liyos Michael Ben. What's the din? Or the other example was the bones of the chicken. In the beginning of Shabbos I say, all the chicken in the pot is Michael Odom. I don't knock it, all the have steak. Okay, the whole steak is Michael Odom. I will all take Michael Odom. He's not going to chew the bones. He's not going to break his teeth and chew the bones. No. But since it's all part of the meat, I label the entire steak or the entire chicken is Michael Oven. Then in the middle of Shabbat he eats it. Then how much does he eat over? If he eats over half the steak, or if he eats over half the chicken, then Michael Oven. I don't want to eat it, I don't want to get his germs or stuff or anything to throw it out the dog. It's a different thing. But that for sure is not called milk because it still has the flesh on the bone. If he's eaten up all the flesh on the bone, and it's not really like he lost the dog, there's nothing left for people to eat. But the only thing is though that it's very lucky he lost the anymore. So then what you have is Michael Oven Shinishtan Aliyah, Michael Behemo. Originally in the beginning of Shabbos, the whole steak of the whole chicken was labeled as Michael Oven. And after you've beaten up all the flesh and there's no more flesh left on the bone, you only have bone which the dog would eat, now it's labeled as Michael Behemo. So what's the dip? Michael Oven Shinishtan Aliyah, Michael Behemo, what's the dip? So that's ignored calls Merilot, but that's not Merilot Gomer. Merilot Gomer means... It looks as if the thing came into existence, the Yeshmi Yana. Really, Yeshmi Yana isn't, the Hashem is not creating the world under our eyes, the Yeshmi Yana yet. Created the Yeshmi Yana, but it looks as if it's something similar to the Yeshmi Yana. The Nevel Zomor was a discussion we had before. The dispute between Rav Nachman and the other Amoraim, whether that depends on the Machlokes of Shimon Rabbanan, or anybody who agrees with it. And here, this is not a Nevel Zomor, this is a plain Nevel. Or, for example, I had a Kli. And another example I speak, I had a Kli. That's me, yes, but I had the table, and I had four legs. And then, little Shabbos, I think the legs broke a little bit, and now I can no longer use it as a table to sit on like this, but the kids can use it as a table. The little children will sit on the floor, and they'll call it on the table. It has a little bit of an elevation. But that's not an elevator at all. That's a cliche in each bar, and it's no longer ready for its original assumptions, but it still has the assumptions that's similar to the original assumptions. It's still to use it, a table. You have to have a chair. And the legs of the chair broke, so it's too low now on the ground, so I can't sit on it because it's not comfortable. But the little baby can sit on the chair. So it started off as a chair, and then ended up as a chair, a different size chair. I had a pot, I had a glass, and the glass lasted a little bit. And not just smaller glass. Before I could hold a quart of liquid, and I could only hold a cup of liquid. So at least it started off as a container. And then ended up as a container, but that's not even called Merlot at all. So what happens if they had a chair and then it broke and now it's no longer useful as a chair at all, it can be useful as a footstool or something else. It's part of a tree A, and after it's smashed in the middle of Shabbos, now it can be used as tree B. If it's smashed, then it can't be used as anything. So it's muktamanish, a piece of junk is muktamanish. And if it's smashed and it's still facing name malachon harishono, then it's not called no shayla mukta at all, it's not nailed at all. But if it's smashed, and now it's still useful as a kli, but a kli of a different ishtamshu. I use this as a completely different type of ishtamshu. But that's the Gemara says, that's the machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. Same if you have, oruch halavim shenishtan aliyas malka behemah, you have kli A, shenishtan aliyas kli B, that's the machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda says that you have to have hachonas ha-bailam, says, how can the one, this thing didn't exist in Ashmosh. This is a nerva, it's not a nerva, it's a nerva. He had no hachonah to this Ben Ashmosh, Ben Ashmosh is a Michael Wadda. Ben Ashmosh is a chair. You can't say he had hachonah, Ben Ashmosh is that the kid should sit and use a table. That we should use this container as a cup to drink water. It started off as a pitcher in the beginning of Shabbos. It didn't start off as a cup. In case that it is hachonah sabbala on that, it didn't exist in that space in the beginning of Shabbos. Now, Shimon says no, that you don't need hachonah sabbala, you say that any kli, any oracle is mukha mayelo. But since it started off, Ben Ashmosh is a Kliye or a Zechole, even on the middle of Shabbos it switched, it's converted to become Kliye or Echobi. And I say, since it started off as an Echol or a Kli, and it ends up as an Echol or a Kli, I say it was Mukham Eyelov in the beginning of Shabbos. That's Machlech Zab Shimon and Rebbe Yehuda. So that's the mission that the Gemara quotes now from Masechah Shabbos, and instead of having Machlech Zab Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon, the mission presents it as Machlech Zab Shimon and Rebbe Yehuda. It's good. It's similar to our Mishnah Machlech Bisham Bisilo. The only thing is that the Shita saw Hakucha is that there that presents Bisham Bisilo differently. Let's read it slowly. Say Sham Ayom and Bisham Ayzei Lekula. So far it's identical with our Mishnah. But we're going to see what the problem is. Say Sham Ayzei Magdim, you're permitted to pick up from the table at some of the creeping. The bones or the shell, what kind of bones or shells? Not the bones or the shells, they're absolute, it's not even Michael Bain. That's mukta. Everybody knows that that's mukta. The place to be explained means the bones started off as Michael Adam and now they're only Michael Bain. Or the creeping, those shells, not the, doesn't mean banana peels, that the dog or the cat wouldn't eat either. It means the orange peel. The dogs eat orange peel. So it started off as Michael the orange, started off as Michael Adam, and now that they ate up the orange, and that's an orange peel, so the local animal will eat it. So it's Michael Adam Shemeshamali, it's Michael Bane. So that's the Shaila of Yudin and Reb Shimon, whether that's Mukta. So if the Shammai say, Magdiyam Yalashuch, if you're permitted to pick it up, it is not Mukta. It's Melot, it is not Melagam, it's not Mukta. But they still learn him that it is Mukta. They still say that the Atomas of Cleveland have started off as Michael Adam, and now in the middle of Shabbos it became Michael Bane, it is Mukta. You're not permitted to pick it up. You're not permitted to pick up the Atomas of Cleveland like this and throw it in the garbage, or if you have a plate that has the bones on it, you're not permitted to take a knife, let's say, or a fork, and push it off like this. So just like it's forbidden to pick up the books that you're buying, are you permitted to not let it push it with a green leading, not let it push it with a fork or a knife? That's considered an extension of the ear. That's what they're permitted to be done. If I take the plate over to the garbage and I drop it in the books like this into the garbage, it's not what they're permitted. I was moving the plate, I wasn't moving the mukta. The mukta fell down by itself. But if I push it, if I pick up the mukta like this, it's called to be alive. Or if I push it off with a fork and knife like that, that's also called to be alive. So that's the matter of this. How does that happen? How does that not such a fun decision, it's a single decision. If I have a plate that has mukta on top of it, what's bothering everybody is that why not say that the plate should be bothered to go to the hospital? That's what somebody asked last week when I said this in right away today. So we say this right away. Place it jumped on the mission right away. Place it all the showing this. We're going to get to that. But you can all make believe that you never heard it in a doctor to go to the hospital. That if I have something that's mukta that I put on top of a plate, not only is the mukta mukta, even the plate is also mukta. This is a bad example. A pen, even because a pen is not mukta. A pen is absolutely not mukta. A pen is a fish of lachalis. It's a different animal. It's a different thing. The Gemara says that the veil of mukta was already from the days of Shlem HaMelech and Davar HaMelech. Davar HaMelech died on Shabbos, the Gemara says. The Shalmah says that Davar HaMelech died on Shavuot. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that he died on Shabbat. Maybe she goes to Shabbat on Shabbat. Maybe it's unclear. But the Gemara says in that David HaMelech died on Shabbat. And then he was moved for Bachamah. He was one of the dead bodies was in the sun. And Shlomo HaMelech felt very dead. How can he leave his father? His body in the sun. It looks clean. I let him handle the body. What do you do? Body's going to decompose. It's going to start to smell faster than otherwise. So he went and he asked the Beit Medrash. Shlomo HaMelech went to the Beit Medrash. He said, no Hector. Maybe there's a head to how to move the body. So they told him, yeah, the Chevy Kaddish knows. Yes, keep your opinion. If you put a little piece of bread, you put a baby on top of the dead body, and then you move the entire body with the keeper, with the food on top, or with the peanut on top, the special head that you're allowed to move, even moving the body. They're moving the body, not that they're moving the keeper, they're moving the whole body. But since it's a double shade that looks on top of the body, it's just a special head that I say that I'm moving the non-looks, and I got the non-looks, I'm also moving the looks. You see from that Gemara, already more highly argued that the laws of looks existed right in the days of God and Amalek. Shlomo HaMelech invented the dinner looks to the day his father died. I'm not Shabbos. Sometimes in the days of God and Amalek, they already had the dinner of Muslim. Then the Gemara says in the end of Shabbos that the laws of Kilkul came in, that it's a business to move a hammer and a pen and a pencil, and these kind of things that was instituted. That was instituted in the days of Nechemiah ben Hakalia. When Ezra and Nechemiah came back and they built the second day of Talmidim, and they saw that so many Jews were Mechal and Shabbos, they kept the shops open on Shabbos and they didn't belong all day long, so the Chachamim introduced a lot of prayers and a lot of Kyogim and a lot of Hachokas in order to beef up the Shemir Shabbos. So they wanted one of the prayers that they introduced was Kilkul Kalim, that they're not allowed to move around the Kalim. So then it's clear, this is a contradiction between the two Gemaras. The one Gemara says that these Dinim of Mukta already existed. The days of Dabar and Malach HaShlam, no, the Gemara says that he instituted it in the beginning of the Sukkot by Shein. It's the Sibir's commentary on Chumash says in one place that truly existed in the days of Dabar and Shlomo, then after many years it fell into disuse. No one was observing the Dinim, and then the Chachamim said, okay, well, we see all those enactments, we'll forget about it because the people are basically observing Shabbos, so they can forget about the laws of Mukta. And then when they came back in the beginning, it was proven by Shani, and they saw that the Shmir Shabbos was very weak, it was very soft Shmir Shabbos, so then they reenacted the old, the old Mechazik again, the old Dinim of Mukta that existed already from the days of Shlomo HaMelech and David HaMelech. That's how they see. And others say, no, why do you have to assume that that there was one there and then they were neglected and then they renewed it? These are two unrelated dinas. The dinah mukta lakus and the dinah, the dead body is mukta. It's not Adam. Adam is dead. He's not called Adam. He's not Mekabel Tumah when he's dead. He's a piece of junk. He is Abiyah Vayta Tumah. A dead body is not Adam. He's not Kedem. He's not Adam. He's not Mashkin. So that's considered mukta manch. It's like a common. So the Gemara says that the Gemara says Layama Kikaratinik Elamate Bova. That this hector, that if you use Kikaratinik, you're permitted to move it as long as you have a dead body. We'll have to discuss. Maybe it works by station lock for the ether though. What if you have a hammer? Or you have a pencil? And you want to move it away. So why do you want to move it away? So if it's in the way and you want to use it, so move it away. Start from cover, move it away. If you want to move the hammer, open up a jar to move it. The start with where you may move it. Start from cover, you may move it. What is your effect? That someone's going to steal your gold tent. Someone's going to come, they're going to steal the gold tent. But to move the Kalisha Malachim Yitzhak, the Mechamel Estel, that's what it's called, for protecting the object. Mechamel Estel, that's the Namlach. To move it from the sun to the shade, because it's going to get destroyed in the sun. Or it's going to get stolen. Someone's going to come and steal it. That to move a Kalisha Malachim Yitzhak for its own protection is forbidden. You're only permitted to move the pen or the pencil or the hammer or the screwdriver if it's off from the Kamar or it's off from Gufo. But to protect it is up there. The man is the Shalom Shulchan Aruch. What if you put the kikar here? What if you put a piece of food on top of the hammer and then you move the hammer like this? Would you say that that's permissible enough? So that's the Machlokes. It's the Shulchan Aruch. The Machal Kos, the Yeshomim, is one opinion that that's permissible. I have to discuss it a little later when we're going to the Gemara with the So let's say like this. We're going to work on the buttons of the world. We're going to figure out an answer to that. We're going to work on it. The plate is an extension of my head. But then, what am I doing with the plate? The plate is not moved. For some reason another play these numbers, so we don't declare it as a buffer to Dover. Only the thing on top is missing. And I want to move the play. I, the Dover, shall look to move the number also. That's not the thing. And then when I let it move like this, when I let the mukta to move off like that, that's not fulfilled for me or dying. I'm holding the plate because I want to move the plate somewhere else. When I let this fall off, that's not a violation of mukta. But if I push it off...
Same as a plate.
If I'm interested in moving the knife there also, if the knife really belongs over here, I have a knife with a penny on it. I take the knife to the kitchen and I drop the penny there, then I take the knife back into the dining room. So the whole purpose of moving the knife to the kitchen is only to drop the money there. So that's moving the penny via the knife. The knife is an extension of my hand, sucker. Yeah,
I go to the counter and bring the plate back to the table.
Wait a second. But it's not finished, then a plate is an extension of the hand, and it's no good. But if I want to move the plate from the, let's say, from the dining room to the kitchen anyway, to put it in the sink and the bowl with all the dishes to wash it out, so I have to take this plate into the kitchen anyway. And on the way, I can't buy, I don't move it out of my way to drop the garbage off like this, and then I go put it where it belongs, so my interest really is, I go a little bit out of my way. My interest is to take this plate into the kitchen. So I'm moving a plate. And then there, if I got it, I drop off the mukta. And then I say, that's not considered simple mukta via dying. I move the mukta without handling it with my hand or something that's an extension of my hand. So that's permissible. The paper plate itself becomes mukta. The paper plate itself becomes mukta. The garbage is mukta, meaning you have to leave it there. Take off the baby's dad, you have to leave it there. His mother says, no. If you die for the baby on the bathroom floor, and you're not going to use that bathroom, or even if you are going to use it, it's a big bathroom, it's not going to get in anybody's way to suck the mukta, so leave it there on the floor. And I used to know people don't die for the baby on the bathroom floor. Die for the baby in the bedroom on top of the bed. And you're going to leave the dirt in the middle of the bed. So the mother says, there's a special hat there. That even though it's mamish, a violation of Tulta Mukta, it's Gerev Shalrei, and it's very disturbing, very annoying, so he's permitted to handle the mukta. Or the Gemara has another mushroom, that they had a barrel of beer, and he found that there was a dead mouse in the beer. So the dead mouse in the beer doesn't make the beer trace. Somehow the Gemara ignores. It doesn't make the beer trace. Whatever flavor, the dead mouse is like a chafer animal, whatever flavor it gives out, it's considered nice and time to tell. You don't say Tom Seeger that it's forbidden to drink the beer because of the dead mouse in it. But it's not called the schmuck to drink the beer with the dead mouse in it. So the mouse is you're permitted to put your hand into the barrel of beer and take out the dead mouse and throw it out in the garbage. Why? Because that's considered like a chalet. If the thing is very, very annoying, very disturbing, so then there's a habit to take it out. And if you're sitting on the table, I think paper plates that you're throwing in garbage right away, they're not useful there, so you use them once. They're not useful. I think that will be mamish mukta. You can't use it as paper plate. If it's a paper plate that's not so dirty, it depends on it. If you had chicken on it, and it got very, very greasy, the grease went through and it's not sharp to use it again a second time, then it's going to be mukta mamish. But then the only time you would be permitted to move it away into the kitchen is if you want to use the table for other things. It's absolutely disturbing to have all these empty plates on the table. So then you would have had to engage so good. Let's say if you would have a different kind of plate, let's say you have a plastic plate. But theoretically speaking, if you wanted to wash up the plate, the only thing that wasn't a chicken is one of those times to wash the plate. It doesn't pay. May as well throw it out in the garbage. So that's a different show. I have to get to that. That's the machlokes outside home, and we pass them at that time for the plate. Not broken. The only thing is, you don't plan to use it again. But theoretically, if you want, you can wash it off. You can use the plastic plate again. But that's not considered broken. That's called looks and not misleads. If you have a plastic plate that theoretically you could use again, but you personally don't plan to use it because it doesn't pay for you to use it again, but that's a machlokes tachanun of Yudav Shimon that's called looks and not misleads. The thing is dirty now, and you personally are going to throw it out, but theoretically you could, if you spend a little time, you can clean it and use it again. So the Yudav holds that that is muksa because you need tachanun. Why the Rav Shimon holds that it's not muksa? As long as it's a plea, you don't need tachanun at all. So getting back again to this, so the Gemara has a mission in Shabbos. The seller finished eating his chicken and he's left with bones. And the bones are rolled in Michael Bayman. Not that he chewed up the bones so much, but even there's nothing left to feed to a dog. It is rolled in Michael Bayman. What he ate was a fruit or a vegetable and he left over the peel. And the peel is not Michael Oda. A person, not only because of germs, even if it's my fruit and my vegetable, and I'm not worried about my germs, no one sits down to eat peel. But he has behemoths in the vicinity, who would eat it? You live on a farm, so the cows would eat it. You live in the city, so the dogs or the cats would do it. There is something left to eat. But that's the machlokes b'sham b'sil. Are you permitted to take that summit to creep in directly from the plate and throw it in the garbage? Or are you permitted to push it off like this? Because that's called tilta mukta the adayin. So if you know that it's mukta, you're not allowed to pick it up, you're not allowed to push it off. So what can you do? You can only carry it on the plate and then tilt the plate and have it fall off by itself. And if you know that it's not mukta, it's not mukta. You can even pick it up your time, you can skate it on. So that's enough. Aim up here, what's the why? What's aim up here, you can see in which case? And if you hold that it is mukta, if you hold that it's not mukta, it's not mukta. If you hold that it is mukta, so why are you permitted to put it on the plate in the first place? So what then does it have? You want to eat it right over the garbage. There was one time, you know what I said, there was one time, who was very masked about this. It's Chayben Akula. He was the one who didn't want to take a sin, but he couldn't make something, he didn't want to take a sin, it was such a machma, he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't do the other thing. So the Gemara says, I'm a Tanut, but he can't do that, so he can't do that. So it's a step to put together these two sins, that awkward situation, and he didn't want to take a sin, and what to do with the master. The guy who master to the government, that the case that brought a carbon and the Jews didn't want to be mockered it, because it was like Talmud and so on, that Chayben HaKul didn't want to take a sin. Shim Bidoya, mock of the courtyard. So what are you, just standing, you won't say anything? He didn't say anything, he didn't want to take a sin. So the Sefer puts together his other chumrah, that he wouldn't eat chicken like a normal person. Eat chicken and put the bones on the plate and figure out what to do. He used to eat right next to the garbage. And then when he finished the chicken, he would throw it directly into the garbage. That was his chumrah. So the Sefer to make fun of him. And you're not in the way to be mocked like that. You should eat, no, you eat on the dining room table, normal with a plate, and then what do you do with the chicken? You get to the chalitza. Either it is mukta, it's not mukta. If it is mukta, you carry the plate. If it's not mukta, you take it the other. So it's a step to that then. It's a step to see sins lying at the end. You're not in the way to go so far. So again, so the Mishnah and Shabbos has a machlokes for Shana B'Tzilu. Whether they are so much asleep and whether the bones and the shells and the peels and the fruits and the vegetables, which started off in the beginning of Shabbos in Michael Odom, and in the middle of Shabbos it became Michael Gehenna, is in Muksa or not. So it sounds like Beishamai Lishitosh and Beishamai Lishitosh. It sounds good so far. That Beishamai in our Mishnah says that there is Muksa, and there Beishamai say, Beishamai Bayat say, Teyokel, that the Beis Shemot is not Muksa, we have not been interpreted. And there they say also, it's not Muksa. Magdimo HaShulchan HaSamah Tepinim. It's quick up to HaSamah Tepinim directly. the Shul said, well, come in the Sarek and Satan the Kula from an hour. You have to take the whole plate and shake it off. You can't scrape it off. You have to shake it off because it is Mukta. That corresponds to the Shul over here. The Sefer is great. This would have been fine except that Rav Nachman stuck in his two cents. The Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman made a comment when he learned Masechet Shabbos. I'm not in comment and I'm not Mishnah in the end of Shabbos on the way in Lonoelo, even though it's printed in the text of the Mishnah that the Shabbos Lekula. It's the Lechumer on the way in Lonoelo, our oral tradition of this Mishnah that I said is our ten Mishnah is just to be heard. That the Shabbos is Machmir and the Tillum is Mechum. So once Rav Nachman reversed the gift in the Mishnah Shabbos, he just ruined the Lishitas, just created a problem. How can Rav Nachman interpret our Mishnah? That the Machlok is Bishama Bishil is regarding the issue of Mukta, and Bishama is Machmir, Bishama is Meitla Mukta, Bishil is Machmir, and Shabbos you have the same Machlok as Shama Bishil about Mukta, and Rav Nachman says the correct verse in the Mishnah should be that Bishama is Machmir on Mukta, Bishil is Meitla, it's just to be reversed from what he says in our Mishnah, that here it says that Bishama is Meitla Mukta, Bishil is Machmir. So that's the Gemara's problem. Yeah, but I'm not made a comment in connection with that Mishnah Yom Shabbos. On the way along the way, we only follow our oral tradition against the text, as it appears in the Mishnah. The Bishama, if you're a Judah, Bishama is Machmeh, like a Judah, who holds the Mukta, the Torah holds like Reb Shimon, that is no Mukta, a Chashtir. How did you put together the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara, Amalach Rav Nachman, the answer is that Shabbos Lechud and Yom Tov Lechud. The Mishnah Shabbos goes on Shabbos. The Mishnah Baker goes on Yom Tov. What does that mean? So on Shabbos, we pass on Shabbos. Let's say anything more. Whenever there's Machlokes B'Shem Nitzil, how do you pass him? So we always know you pass him like this with very few exceptions to the rule. Very few. We learned in the first parashah of Masechet Shabbos, we learned that one has Yitzchak Dover. So the eight things there is with this Shammai, Avod B'Shem. The 18th case. And then Tyson says in the beginning of Sukkah, and that Gimel, they quote from the Siddur of Amon Gwen. Amon Gwen writes in the Siddur, that there are another six cases in addition to the 18, where we have a tradition, the Gwen had a tradition, based on Gemara that we talk about the Shabbos. There comes up a Sachar Kol of 24 cases. The 18 cases of the Yitzchak Zeri, and the first paragraph of Masechet Shabbos, so the Tyson, the first, the second half of the Tyson, there's another six cases. The 6 and 18 is 24. So there are only 24 cases. And it collects all the six places where we pass them like this Shammai, in addition to the 18 Yitzchak Zohar, in addition to the 18 there. But this is not one of the 24 cases. So whatever they still will say, that's how we're going to pass them. So the question is, well, what they still will say? So the Gemara says that by, we have a Kalal Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Whenever the Mishnah writes a din and it doesn't, an anonymous din, it doesn't attach anybody's name to it, so the Mishnah is implying Rabbi Yudanasi by writing it some is implying that that's the majority view. That's why he doesn't say, give it a Shimon. Shimon says that, but no one else agrees. If you write it some, it implies that that's the majority view. And Halacha Kistam Mishnah. That's a bit more close to Yechon and many times saying Halacha Kistam Mishnah. So we have two Stam Mishnahs. Masecha Shabbos is the Stam Mishnah, which implies that we pass like Reb Shimon, that Mukti is Lahaka, and Masechet Baker is a Stam Mishnah that implies like Reb Yudah, that Yemachman Mukti. So the Gemara answer is that how does Reb Nachman going to explain why there's a contradiction in Shana Mishul, that it helps Mukti, that it helps Mukti? So he says, we have to pass like this to him. So that Reb Nachman has a tradition that in Masechet Baker we'll be talking about Yontif, the Tana presents the Hillel as being Machmer on Mukta because that's how they're going to pass because it's established in Masechet Beitza that follows Rav Yudah's opinion that you are Machmer on Mukta on Yom. But in Shabbos, Rav Nachman says the correct years in the Mishnah should be against the way it's printed in all the normal editions. Rav Nachman says the correct years should be that the Hillel are Mekel on Mukta. Why? Because there's another Stam Mishnah and another place in Masechet Shabbos that indicates and on Shabbos we don't pass my Rav Yudah. On Shabbos we pass my Rav Yudah. That Mukta is good. So then the Gemara's going to ask, but that itself doesn't make any sense. How do Rav Yudah not see one person added to all the Mishnayim, and in one Mishnah, it's the same issue when they get Mukta and no Mukta. When you pass my Rav Yudah and pass my Rav Yudah. So how come with respect to Shabbos, Rav Yudah not see wrote in the Mishnayim to be Mekel, And that's why he put it in such a way, Rabbi Ramas, he put it in such a way that they feel a lameko, and that's the halacha that they feel. And on the other side, he wrote it in the Achmer. So the Gemara says, well, Shabbos is so chomor, everybody knows you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So that's the kind of time for the Shanaim, that used to be religious Jews. So the woman, the majority of Jews, the majority of the laws of Shabbos. So the Chacham didn't feel it necessary to be machmer so much. So he stuck to the basic thing that there is no dinat mukta. Unless his mom is junk, but if it's not real junk, it's still from a kailin, so then we pass my kakshin. So that's why the Mishnah wrote that they still will hold my kakshin in Rakhia on Shabbos. But young kids, everybody knows that I have that issue is mutter. And everybody thinks, all the Balabatim thought is man on Mishnah, oh, young kids, everything is mutter. You can carry whatever you want, you can cook whatever you want. But since people began to be revolving and do malachas on young kids, that it's a business. Because they know there's a happy lechon nefesh, it's a time that they used to be mezalva. So the chacham talk, you have to introduce more chumras and more bzeres and more piyogim on yontif than on Shabbos. So they forbid the even simple muktzah, even the kind of muktzah that's muktzah on Shabbos, is also on yontif. That's how the Gemara is. That's how the Rambam and the Rebbe talk about this Gemara. That the patient of the conditions and the ice cream in the freezer on a normal Shabbos would not be muktzah, but on Rosh Hashanah and Shal Shigal, it is muktzah. Especially because it's on Pesach and not muktzah. But on Rosh Hashanah and Shavuot and Sukkot, they will be muktzah. That's how the Mechala talks, and this is muktzah on Yom Kippur, and there's no muktzah on Shabbat. Other Rishonim say that that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Baal HaMor, at the end of the Mishnah, the Yud discusses this at the very long, this is only 40 days. And muktzah keeps on recurring. So the Yud has a big dissertation at the very end. So at the beginning, after you finish everything, you have it at the end. So that's where the Baal HaMor has in his commentary on the bottom of the rib, at the very last page in the Mishnah, he discusses the first daf. How to read his Gemara. He says that the rib and the Rambam misread the Gemara. Never said that in the Gemara. Gemara said a different thing. He says, Rabbi Yudah Nasi wrote the Mishnayot sometimes in such a way to mislead people into thinking one thing. He says, the Dinit HaMuktah is Muktah Ben Shabbos Ben Yom. So why do Rav Yonasi write it in such a way, it sounds as if Muktzah is also on Yom Tov? He wanted to mislead the Balabatim into thinking that Muktzah is also on Yom Tov. Let him make a mistake with him, because the Mizalgum so much in Yom Tov, so let him think that Muktzah is also. If he comes, he asks a Shaila, you have to tell him the truth, the dinner that Muktzah is Muktzah, then Shabbat, then Yom. His Mizmah doesn't say that on Shabbat he passed like this, and on Yom Tov he passed like that. The Mishnah was written in a misleading fashion to mislead the Balabatim to be Machmir. So we meant, Rabbi Ramasi meant to fool them into thinking, he had to get out like that, that's the din. He wrote it in such a way, yes, it sounds like that's the din that Muktzah is off on them, but it really isn't, there's no difference in Shabbat Yom. That's how the Baal HaMor reads the Gemara. We'll have to read the Gemara in a minute. That's how he reads the Gemara. I think so. Yami din. The Gemara goes with the psychology that when people are mezalva on the Nisa, then you have to pour on more chumras. You have to pile on more chumras in order to prevent them from having it. It's in that people are not mezalva, so you don't have to have hachakir. But if it's an area where you see that people are being mezalva, then you have to mention, I think, we have three. The Gemara has it been, you're not permitted to drink tam yena. Wine is manufactured by non-Jews, it's a good. Sure. But what happens if you live in a community where the Jews are mezalva and tam yena? So I'm going to say, around New York City, you have an awful lot of Jews, and I'm observant at all. So a lot of Jews drink Goyish wine. But then the Gemara says, there's an added kumra, and not a chakakad, and not only is it forbidden to drink the Goyish wine, if you live in this community, you're not even allowed to drink beer or schnapps in a bar. If you buy the beer and schnapps, you drink it outside, you take it home and drink it outside in the street, then it's okay. But to drink beer and schnapps in the bar is a matter of hakoke, up to the samyena. I think one has other cases like that, whatever, I think we mentioned this before, so that when Rob came to Babel and he saw that the people were mamish cooking broth of a cholo, they never had a lot of the Mavada, so he started to introduce chumras and hakotis and the other things that never existed in Eretz Yisrael, because the people didn't violate Rosh Hashanah. Whenever you see that the people are violating the demons more, then you have to introduce more hakakas in the whole thing. You need to observe the din of the right. Don't know how many din in the right, but you need to observe some of the din. But you just need the din of the right without any hakakas. You know, violate that. That's how the Gemara goes with this psychology. Right, the plug is Mishum Hatzor. The whole prohibition of Mukti is very shamey yod to let her carry. The Chachamim saw that, like in our generation, people carry on Yom Tov like nothing. And the Dinah did not want to carry on Yom Tov. You aren't permitted to carry Oich HaMetz, which is Torah HaYom Tov. And the things that are unnecessary, you're not going to carry. So in order to be Mechazik, the Yisra of Hatzor on Yom Tov, so the Greek and the Rambam and the Mechaber and the Sparg and Pramadai hold that the Tanoim introduced the day of Mukta on Yom Tov more so than on Shabbos. On Shabbos, on the Mukta, it's Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, whatever is Novad, it's also Mukta, the bones that are left over. It's eating chicken with the Mukta on Yom Tov and on Shabbos. If he chewed up all the bones, his mom's not even wearing a chilo zayma, then it's Mukta, then the Shabbos, then the Yom Tov. If you have eggshells, and you don't have any elephants around, you don't live near the zoo, and you're not going to eat the eggshells, then it's Mukta Mamish, then the Shabbos, then the Yom Tov. But if it's the peel of an orange that the dwarf woody, or you have, or let's get chicken bones or the meat bones that the dwarf woody, but then the Mechaber talks about the reason around them, then on Yom Tov that would be Mukta, and on Shabbos not. Now to get to the Ramah, the Ramah doesn't exactly talk like the Ramah, have to exactly. Let's see again the Gemara. So the Gemara is, what do you do with this contradiction, the Shabbos is new? On Malach Rav Nachman, the four lines from the bottom of Beit HaMelech. Nachman can answer you, but Nachman will answer. Gabi Shabbos, the Tosham on Tanakh Rav Shimon, since there's astonishment that indicates that we pass on like Rav Shimon on Shabbos, and he's going to quote this Nam. We're going to read it in a minute. In a minute. I'm not going to leave it out. So the Gemara has on the left line, Mukim Lola, they still look at Rav Shimon. So that's why Rav Nachman says you got to change the gears to Magdim al Ashulchan. So he changed the gears to three, the Beit Hillel calls God with Rav Shimon because we're going to pass like Rav Shimon, we're going to pass like Beit Hillel. So make sure, Rav Nachman says, make sure that Beit Hillel come out la'alocha, that there's no problem on Muktzah Shabbos. Avol, he says, Gabi Yom Tov, if you have a Tam Mishnah like Rav Judah, the son's going to have to see what the Tam Mishnah is. Since by Yom Tov, there's a Tam Mishnah that sounds like we pass, either that passes like Rav Judah, or it sounds like we pass like Rav Judah. That's the question. The Balamos says, the Sartre Montana Rav Judah sounds like we pass like Rav Judah. He says, no, you have a Tamisha, maybe he passes like Rav Judah. Therefore, the Gemara says on the third line, looking rather similar to Rav Judah. Okay, then the Gemara asks, well, what's going on here? Nisi Man Sartre Lamas, who is the one who edited all these Mishnahis? One person did the whole thing, Rebbe. So why did he write a contradiction? Marshall Mishabis the Sotham on Rabbi Shimon. Marshall Mion to the Sotham on Rabbi Judah. How did he write a contradiction in the Mishnayim? But on Yom Tov he implies that Mukta is Asim and Shabbos implies Mukta is Mukta. So his Mari answers Amri. The answer will be Shabbos the Chamira. Shabbos is an Isha Chomer to do Malach of Allah. Rosh Hashanah is really born people will not be misled to violate to Shabbos. But that's what the Mara Tanai. So therefore Sotham on Rabbi Shimon the Nekom. The Tanai writes Allah into Rav Shimon that you don't have to be Nachman and Rav Shimon. But Yom Tov be killed in Mana Tanai, people would violate the Surim of Yom Tov because they thought that Chomot is everything goes. If you ask them as a Wuzu, they were afraid that people would violate, therefore Shas Yom Tanai to Rav Yudah, the Nachman. Okay. That's the end of Amman. Now we have to see, where are these Mishnayim? Where do you have the Stam Mishnah and Shabbat that indicates that the Rav Yudah Allah you follow Rav Shimon that there's no Yisra of Mukta? Where is the Stam Mishnah and Yom Tov that there is a Din of Mukta? So the Gemara has to dig up a Mishnah from Shabbos and a Mishnah from Beit. So the Gemara has an Amar Aleph on the third line from the bottom. The Gemara says, where is the Stam Mishnah to Rav Shimon on Shabbos if not? It's permissible to do the following. Chav Chenet Chavulua and Lefnei HaBeheno. No? You're permitted to chop up vegetables to enable the animal to eat them. On Shabbos there's no prohibition. That's unavailable if we are clothing. You're permitted to chop up the dead available. I had a cow, I chopped. The cow was disturbing and the Shabbos. What do you do with the dead cow? You eat the cook. Kodman, the cow was alive. I said, well, my cow was alive. Kodman was alive. I was going to eat it myself. But then it was hit by lightning. Or it was attacked by a lion or whatever, it got a heart attack, whatever, it just died in the middle of summer. So I'm not allowed to eat it, but then I can feed it to the animals. Even though it died in the middle of Shabbos, and in the beginning of Shabbos, it started off as Michael Lodda. On Shabbos, you can't shift it. احتمال آخر به شخص هم شبه داره بسیاری به لاخیره هر این احنا ما داره زنی به لاخیره اصاب اما شخص هم دام داره من دیگه هم شخص there is a little shabby to die, so it's Michael Arden, now it's Michael Arden, she understand all this, Michael Behemoth. So the Mishnah says that it's not what's, you know, Michael Arden, she understand all this, Michael Behemoth, that's exactly the Machlokes of Yudu of Shimon, that's Noah, Shein of Gomor. Kli A broke and it's converted to become Kli B. Or Michael A converted in the middle of Shabbos and Lodi Antip to become Michael B. Michael Arden, she understand all this, Michael Behemoth is the example of the Machlokes of Yudu of Shimon.
Yes.
If it's only if it's working, then I treat it like a machine. And then if it dies, it becomes barichol. Then it would be not a gomma.
Yeah.
Then Rav Nachman will say that it's the same old machlekes b'shan v'tu. And we would say no, that's the holiday. Now it's not having to be speaking with Rav Nachman. Even if it's only made the milk, even if it's on a milk farm, he will also say that it works. The Mishnah is going to tell me that it's not mukta. And that indicates that we pass my question. We would say, not we do it. Even Hashim would say that it's mukta. So Rav Nachman would say that it's not mukta. We feel that even the time of Gerlis and Medes were gathered basically. And then Jim got a negative. The middle of Gansa, the middle of Shabbat, also a machlevi of Yudhav Shin, Hashim would be named. So that's the Mishnah that they quoted. The Chatzin is on the veil of the Snach Lovin. And Tesis is on the bottom of the dock. The last Tesis explains what it's got to do with anything. Rashi and Tesis, the last Rashi and last Tesis. Achotishim is not with the Shabbos, Rashi says. He says, Anasichim Afarishim is not with the Shabbos. That's the same Shabbos that died in the middle of Shabbos. In the beginning of Shabbos, it is only Midlachi, where it's all done through Michael Oven. The middle of Shabbos, it died, I'm not going to sell it to a door. The government, I'm not going to eat it. Mason may run. Then he feed it to the door. But Michael Oven, Shem is not with Michael Behemoth. The Mishnah says it's permissible to cut it up and feed it to the door. Please see that the Mishnah does not come up. What's the first half of the Mishnah? The chatzin is hadluin with nev hemi. You permit it to chop up the vegetable to serve to the day. What does the chidish want out? That's not muslim. Nothing to do with muslim. And what does it have to do? Why would I go to the forbidden if the Mishnah has to say, let's say you have a piece of chicken. The steak and the Mishnah, you're allowed to cut the chicken with pork and knife? Of course you're allowed to cut the chicken. What's the chidish here? We would have thought you're not allowed to cut it to the day. Why would I pray for it? Maybe it wasn't. Okay, so let's say it's a vegetable that I can't eat, but it's not a behemoth. The behemoth eats this vegetable. So I'm going to, just like I can cut up food for myself, I can cut up food for myself. So there are two pirush, and Rashi and Tzitzis is each different pirush. So in very sense, it's a machlekes amoraim, a masechah shabbat, is how to translate, how to interpret this mission. So Rashi here is quoting one amor, and Tzitzis is quoting one amor, and Rashi and Tzitzis need a quote. They both shot Matthew and the Gemara Shabbos, and not Mishnah. The Chatzin and Sadluin with their behemoth, it was permissible to cut up the vegetables to enable the behemoth to eat it. The Gemara said, Pshit and Maika Mashmar, if you cut up for yourself, then what can't you cut for the day? So the Gemara gives one opposite shot. The one I've always said, we're talking about a case where the animal cannot, the vegetables are so big. The animal just can't eat the vegetable unless he's going to cut it up. But if you have little vegetables, the animal can eat it anyway. The only thing is that if you cut it up to the animal, then it's even more gishmak. The animal enjoys eating it even more, so then you're not allowed to cut it up to the animal. That's a tircha shalolah for it. But if you have such a big vegetable that the animal just can't eat it the way it is, too gigantic, so then you permit it to cut it up to enable the animal to eat it, then it's not a tircha shalolah for it. Cut a vegetable that's too small already. That's a tircha shalolah for it, that's forbidden. But if you cut a gigantic one, that's mutter. That's one shot. That's how Rashi says. The chatzin, the lulin solution. We're talking cutting up vegetables that were detached from the ground before Shabbos. We're not talking about lulin. So by Amina, we don't say that it's forbidden because tircha the last tzorchu. So the Gemara explains here on Shabbos, when is it tircha the tzorchu, when is it tircha shalala tzorchu? If it's such a gigantic vegetable that the animal just can't eat it the way it is now, tircha shalala tzorchu, it's forbidden to cut it up to enable the animal to eat. But if the animal could eat it without you cutting it up, and then you want to cut it up to make it even more geschmack, then it's not the deal for Shalom and Torah, and you're forbidden to cut it up. If you don't say that, this is not a deal for Shalom and Torah. This is what's going on. It would cross those Muslims, but it would have been Shalom itself and it would have been us. That's how one Amar is ever shown. I think that's what Rashi is alluding to. And then Taisus quotes the other interpretation. Taisus did not ask for this noun. Yes, Dean Taimon, what's in the Shamra? Of course he submitted to Kala Vesvitz. If he got a vegetable for himself, why shouldn't he be allowed to cut a vegetable for the animal feed? Why not? He says he's in the Yeshlema. They were talking about pollution, the vegetables would be cashed in the ground. No Shamra from the Kuba, right? I would have thought that you're not allowed to cut it up. Because the art of the Mashmur, who also in the Sishayim, Koshin, Achitos, Meraki, Chayislam, so the Mashmur, the Gemara says there is Mutas. So the Gemara says there in Shabbos, the other Amora says, Taisi sounds like you're referring to the other Amora. The other Amora says the Pshat just to be reversed from Rashi's Pshat, from the Finnis Amora Pshat. The Gemara says there, if you have vegetables that are so big, and the animal just can't bite into them at all, and by your chopping up the vegetables, you're making it into Israel, and that's an Easter of the second one on the earth. You're making it Royal Achilu for the day. If I have a chicken that I wanna eat with my hands, I'll hold on to the sofa, hold on to the treasure, and I'll eat it like this. If I need like a knife, I'll hold the knife and the fork, and I'll cut it like this. So you don't think that cutting with the knife and the fork is a Shuya Yuchlo. Let's make it Royal Achilu. Royal Achilu now won't fix it. Instead of eating with my hands, I want to eat with a fork and knife. I need it easier. But by the Behemoth does not have a hold it like this. But yeah, the gigantic vegetable that the Behemoth just cannot eat like this. And you're going to cut it up to enable the Behemoth to eat it. That's an Easter de Rabbanon of Ashwilya Yuchlo. That's called the second one and open. Son of Ashwilya Rabbanon. But I'll tell you that to the whole Yun and Achem, the Sakh, we know it's the Mistake in Mana in Oichel. The word Mistake in Mana, the word Mana is Aramaic for clean. Then Yun Allah means a clean in Aramaic. Mistake in Mana means a fixing a broken clean. So if you take Oichel and you fix the broken Oichel, that the Oichel is the pumpkin of whatever is too big for the behemoth to eat, and you cut it into small pieces to make it possible for the behemoth to eat, you can't say that that's Mistake in Mana on a level of an Easter that I Mistake in Mana, a clean, an Oichel. Most of them hold it in on the second one of their rights on the Ophel. The Rabbanon there is. The Rabbanon they made it, they introduced a rare on the second one on Ophel. But if the food is so gigantic that the animals, the pieces are so bulky, that the animal is unable to eat them the way they are, and you're coming up to enable the animal to eat it, that's an eat in the second one of the Rabbanon. But if the pieces are small enough that the animal can eat it anyway, but then you cut it up into small pieces that the animal should eat, find it even taste the air, that's the miserable. It's just the opposite from the other shot. The other shot was Pumsaker. If the pieces are small enough that the animal is able to eat it, you're chopping up to make it even better for the animal, that's Tircha Shalom itself. You're not allowed to be much fear for the day. But the pieces are so big that the animal can't eat it, and you have to cut it up in order to enable the animal to eat it. That's not called Tircha Shalom itself, that's Tircha Shalom. Krimsa Hekel, the Amoran, having a look is just the opposite from the show. So the words of Rashi and Taisus sound as if each one is quoting one of the other children. Rashi introduces the issue of the Tircha Shalot of Torah, and Taisus introduces the issue of Ashwiya Yuchlo. Tircha is a different Easter. It's not from the Lamed Malachas at all. It's a different Easter on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of Shabbosim. Right? The Ramban Achon Mishnah is a thing. This is of Shabbosim means you should rest on Shabbos, not to move the furniture around. Let's say within the house you should move, there's no use to work like so. So let's say on Shabbos, the guy's going to move all of his bookcases and all the furniture from one room to the other, move the beds and everything. He hasn't violated any malacha, but he violated the use of Tircha. There's a big discussion of Tircha later, in the beginning of the fourth Teret of Deitra. Mishnah talks about Tircha. So the Mishnah Brewer, when he says that he doesn't have a handle on this, to know exactly how much effort and energy do you have to spend in order to violate the Tircha. It's so unclear, both when he's Mara and Shabbos and when he's Mara and Gates, unclear how hard do you have to work. So spend 3 hours moving all the furniture You're going to convert the bedroom to a dining room, dining room to the living room, living room to the bedroom, switch everything around, so that's the surest thing all day long. So I mean, what about, you want to move some of the books from this bookcase to that bookcase, it will take 20 minutes. Because that needs to feel come out. Sounds like that. First of all, what about just to move one shelf to the other, just to move three spots? It's also needs to feel come. Because he doesn't know where to draw the line. Very unclear in the Gemara. But there is such an initiative. So again, that's the Mishnah Masechah Sham, because I said we committed to cut the vegetables, the pumpkins, whatever, to feed the animal. That has nothing to do with it. Is that the Shaila either of Ashwiya Yuchlo? Is that the Monabadi Yochel? Or is the Shaila of Kircha Shemal itself? It has nothing to do with it. The second line in the Mishnah, you committed to cut up the nevela to feed it to the door, even though the animal died in the middle of Shabbos, and in the beginning of Shabbos, this animal was under Matil Atorim. It's part of the beginning of Shabbos, is Matil Atorim. And when it dies in the middle of Shabbos, it's converted to become Michael Bayman. So that should have been a case of Muxim. Michael Atorim should have started with Michael Bayman. And yet the Mishnah says you can feed it to the door, so you see that it's not Muxim Shabbos. That's the Mishnah Shabbos. What's the Mishnah in Beitza? It's more on the second line on Beitza, and it's close to Mishnah Beitza. So again, the Mishnah has two lines. So again, the first line of the Mishnah doesn't prove anything. The first line is either here or there. The first half of the Mishnah has to do with Muktzah, but the first half of the Mishnah has to do with a Muktzah that everybody agrees to. If you have what we call a Muktzah Nachmus concerning you, you know how that's right. If you have something that's a Muktzah Nachmus concerning you, everybody agrees that that's Muktzah. What is Muktzah Nachmus concerning you, for example? And so Chodak, they give that example. You have a precision instrument, for example, a Mila knife that the Mo uses to do a bit with it, which is very expensive, and he's not going to use it to cut a sandwich or to cut a salami. Because it's a precision instrument. He can use something else with a salami or for the bread. He's going to use this only for his operation. Our Sheikhet has a special Scottish Shito, which he only uses for Shito. He's not going to use it for something else. Precision instrument is going to break. It's going to cost a lot of money. So it's, for example, a typewriter. Yeah, the typewriter, what's the malach, what's the easier assumption to the typewriter? It's the malach to leave. You use it to see, whether you write with a pen or a pencil, when you type, that's the malach to see. So what, let's say you have a hammer. The hammer is not mukta. The hammer, the typewriter is not mukta. The hammer is a clean, the malach to leave, because it's always malach to leave. It's a new malach to leave. You have malacha, most of the time when you use the hammer, you use it to bang in the nail. Because that's the malacha of bone ash. You bang a nail into the wood, you bang a nail into the chair, you stop in money. So the hammer is real malacha. It's a real malacha, the hacker. Once in a while, you use the hammer to open up a jar, to crack in a screwdriver. Screwdriver is real malacha, it's a real malacha. But what happens if you have a plea that cold, cooler malacha? I have a plea that I only use feet, I never use it for anything else than it's absolutely no. How do you have such a thing? I have, let's say, the knife that I use to shchit the sheet is malachan sham. I have the knife that I use to do a bit leave of this leave is a malachan sham. To make an operation is a malachan sham. Unless you have a deal with his mana. You have a deal with his mana, then it's a special effort that you're allowed to do in the Chal Shabbos. So you don't have a deal with his mana. So you don't have a deal with his mana. So the knife that you use for the bris milah is a malachan sham. Well, you have a typewriter, it's a Kalishan Malach Kaliyisa. But it's not only Rob Malach Kaliyisa, it's called Malach Kaliyisa because it's a precision instrument and you're not that you don't want anybody to use it for anything other than it's Iker Hishtamshu because you don't want them to break it. It's an expensive thing. But then, if it's labeled as called Malach Kaliyisa, then it's Mukta Ramesh. Why? Because it's considered a piece of junk, Hashem is in this. Not only is it a piece of junk, Ramesh, or it's a beautiful, beautiful plea that you're forbidden to use. You're not allowed to use it. It's also to use it for a seeker ishtamshu. And your maksa is not to use it for anything other than a seeker ishtamshu. So it means that kol malach kaliyisa. Kol malach kaliyisa has no ishtamshu. A plea that has no ishtamshu. Useless. Useless on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, if you have a plea that's kol malach kaliyisa, a salachic useless, someone asked that salachic event of Shaila, they had an unkodesh with wooden doors on the unkodesh that had bolts, electric bolts on the wooden door. So they wanted to know, are they permitted to open up the door to the unkodesh on Shabbos when the lights are on? Or should you say that since the bulbs are on Muktzah when the lights are on, so the door is above the double up? We're going to have to learn more tomorrow. A buttress is not only that it's like this, yeah. If the door is holding something that hooks onto the door, so the door also becomes a buttress. 2 days and says, that's a week after. If the door becomes a box or something is hanging on the door, it becomes a box. So as long as you knock once already, maybe you're permitted to open up the door even if the lights are on. So he thought that it's forbidden to open the door even if the lights are off. He said he thinks that a bulb is called a lot to Lisa. What do you use a bulb for? You only use a bulb to turn around to turn off. You don't play ball with a bulb. You don't put the bulb under the stage to hold it up as a book. You don't play marbles with a bulb. He thought that it's called a lot to Lisa.
It's called Shabbos. We don't have all Shabbos.
But it has a use for a Shabbos. That's not called Hishtamshit. Hishtamshit only is when you're actually like a flame. Right? The Gemara says that why is it that the candlestick is mukta? The Gemara says because it doesn't gather up to the flame on Shabbos. Why is the flame mukta? Why is the flame gives light, the flame gives heat? So the Gemara seems to assume that it's only called the Dabash Yeshua Hishtamshit if I use the thing, a pencil or a pen has Hishtamshit, I write like this. But it has Hishtamshit and the flame sits there and it gives light and it gives heat and I warm my hands. That's not called Hishtamshit. Hishtamshit means, can I use the flame? On Shabbos you're not allowed to use the flame. On Yom Tov then you can light another candle from the flame. So the flame is not mukta. The flame is a Dabash Yeshua Hishtamshit. I can use it. I can use the flame. On Shabbos you can't use the flame for anything, so the flame is considered useful. Generally assume that you're not allowed to turn on lights on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to turn off lights on Yom Tov.
No,
flame. Flame you can light a other one. Right. But the bulb, the only assumption that the bulb has, when the bulb is on, it gives you light or gives you heat, so you can use the light. That's not called using the bulb. Using the bulb is when you screw it in, when you screw it out, and you turn around and you turn it off. That's the assumption when you're handling it. So then we heard the whole handling on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we assume it's called a lot to me, because no one uses it for anything else. Don't use it for anything else. So whenever you have a kli that's called malachalis, so then there's a gemara in Masechta Shabbos. Then everybody agrees, that's mukta. Called malachalis is mukta. Even if it's not called malachalis, it's a kli shem malachalis, but your mukta is not to use it for anything else. Then it's called mukta machas concerning kids. Since it's a precision instrument and it's expensive and you're going to use it, if someone's going to break it, you won't be able to use it for the bris milah. You won't be able to type it. Then the kids, you're going to break the typewriter. You don't let the kids play with the typewriter like a ball. It's like games with the gemakta to put away that they shouldn't smash it. Or the sakhna shal shtika. So that's the equivalent of a kli that's called a kli. The basis comes from the first line in this Mishnah. The first line says that if you're building, if you have beams that are set aside for the purpose of construction, so to build a house on Yom Tov is a malach. You're not allowed to build a house on Yom Tov. So it has a whole discussion in Shabbos. Why is it forbidden to build a house in Yom Tov if it's cold and you don't have any house to sleep in? Why don't you say it's mukta, let's set up our own stuff? A whole discussion. Shabbos. But the din is, halacha l'maaseh, you're not allowed to. You just want to turn off in the garage, otherwise, whatever. Even if you need a house, you have no place, you have no sukkah to eat in, you're not allowed to make a sukkah. Maybe a lot of you have to prefer to make a sukkah as a different Shabbos. But you don't have a lot of make the sukkah yourself on Yom Tov, that's for sure. So the Sefer says over here, if you have beams, Sefer quoted Mark, you have beams that are for the purpose of, set aside for the purpose of construction. So constructing on Shabbos, construction on Yom Tov is a malach. You're not allowed to do binyan on Yom Tov. I, but I can use the beams for another purpose if I want. I can sit on the beams, I can play seesaw, right? I put a big rock under the beams and go like this. I can use the beam to serve on, I can use it as a table, as a chair, whatever. The Sefer says that people just don't do that. Construction beams are expensive things. So, machmach pedo, because of the concern is if it's going to break a chip or get scratched or something, it's not going to look nice on the ceiling. It's not going to look nice on the ceiling. We're exposed. The sink is going to be machmach not to use the beam for anything other than construction purposes, but the beam now converts to become a chromolocalisa. Chromolocalisa is mukta the holidays. So the first line in the Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to take construction beams that are sitting around waiting to be used for building purposes. You're not allowed to take it and chop it up and use it as fuel in the furnace on Yom Tov. Everybody agrees that that's forbidden. That's mukta manish. That's mukta machmas kitan kir. So that first line in the Mishnah and Beis doesn't prove that you have a sub Mishnah and Beis one way or the other. That's mukta machmas kitan kir. That's mukta machalade. But the next line in the Mishnah, that's the proof. Next line of the Mishnah says, the Roman HaKadosh and Nishbol of the Yom Tov. They have a little bungalow, it has a wooden house. And they have beams on top. And then somehow or another, one of the beams on top broke in the middle of Yom Tov and it fell down. Now it's laying on the floor. So what is it good for now? The only thing it's good for is fire. We said, I want to take it and put it in the furnace and burn it. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So the Shabbat says, why not? What's wrong? So it seems that it's mukhtar. Since in the beginning of Yom Kippur was a different thing. It wasn't a lot. Even in the middle of Yom Kippur, it converted to become a lot. Since it wasn't that in the beginning of Yom Kippur, that's considered a mukhtar. The Gemara says that's the Sam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That's the Sam Mishnah that says that mukhtar is also a mukhtar. Okay. That's Rav Nachman. We'll be there next week. We'll have to continue with a little more of Nachman. Then we'll go to the other interpretations in the place. I'll just have a short comment. In the story of the Akedah, that the Torah tells us, Rashi quotes our famous Medrash. Everybody remembers the Rashi in the Medrash. That Avraham Avinu was ready to shech the son. But he doesn't say, Harei Shalom, I'll say, Shalom, the sins of Malach. And he says, So why does the Malach say a double lush and Altish Chavyot Kol Anar? Altash Lom Yuma. So Rashi goes to the Medrash. The Malach tells him, don't kill your son. Then Avraham Avinu pleads him. Let me make him a Balm Rum. Rashi says, Altash Lom Yuma. Yuma Lush and Rum. Don't make him a Balm Rum. It's kind of a funny, Azam wasn't a Medrash. It's kind of funny Medrash. The Bereshon told him, bring a carpet. He said, you got to bring a carpet? Okay, it's a good name. Because Bereshon wants to come. Then the mouth tells him, don't bring a carpet. So why do you want to make him a Balm Rum? That's the mutilated body. What's the Kavanah Kamesh? So the Chassam Sefer has in his Yosh is the following interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to be Magdish his son as a carpet. So what do you do with the carpet? The Malach, the carpet on the Mizbeach. Then the Malach comes and he says, don't be Malach him on the Mizbeach. So he was released. Baruch Hashem doesn't have to share his son. So what do? You have a carbon walking around. Carbon you're not allowed to use. It's any secular purpose. So it's going to be Kurdish for the rest of his life. How is it possible that a human being should live even lonely the man says he was 37 years old? Old, the younger, whatever, is all around 37. He's going to live another 100 years to go. He's going to be leading his life only to Kedusha. He's not going to enjoy Hanoi Tehran Mazda. He's not going to do anything for his own purpose. He's going to be more of a Hegdish. Now, Ramadhan wanted to make a move to be part of him. If a korban has a moon, you can be paid to have the kedusha changed around to the set. But if the korban doesn't have a moon, he's going to be stuck. He's going to be stuck, so that's impossible. He wants to make a stick of moon on his toe, on his finger, not to cut off to chop off his hand. He wants to make a moon on his ear, something. He wants to make a moon to be paid in. So the Rebbe Shlomo says, no, your son will be able to remain a korban. The Rebbe says later, he was an oil of Nemo. When there was a rock and there was Kinan, and Yitzchak was planning to leave to Mitzrayim, just like Avraham left in Mitzrayim when there was a rov in Eretz Kinan. So the Baruch Hashem said, no, you have to stay here in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to leave. Your father wasn't a Kohen, you're a Kohen, you're not a Mitzrayim. And if you go quickly, so you'll be Yitzchak the Yitzchak. You take the Kohen outside of the Makam and the Beit HaMikdash, you should become Yitzchak. So his Makam was the whole Eretz Yisrael, was the Makam HaKohen. He wasn't allowed to go. So there was one of you thought, that's impossible. How can a human being lead such a life? Kula Kedesh. He's not going to enjoy a little bit of Hanot Elam HaZek himself. Rashi said, no, that it is possible. Your son will lead a life of Kula Kedesh. It's interesting, we always think that all of human activities are divided into three areas. You have things that you're forbidden to do, things that you're obligated, not like these traits, not like these Mahasham, things that you're obligated to do, you have to daven and say Krishna, like Talatim, so on. And then the other 98% of the world is optional. If you want, you can do. If you don't want, you don't have to do. So that's the way everybody always is doing. So the Musa Svarim quotes in the name of the Mitzvah, in the name of the Chodes Alvorim, in the states where you turn to Shorosh Avoida. Remember the Bali Musa lived in Bilmi in the days of his only running. He calls it the Klova Hayabish Abal Chodes Alvorim. Now Chodes Alvorim says that it's not true. But there is no such thing as 98% optional. That everything is black and white. Either you're mechuyif to do it or you're forbidden to do it. The Chodes Alvorim says that the person has to do Avodas Hashem all of his life, and he's not allowed to do anything for himself. And most people don't lead their life like that. A person has to eat in order to be able to do Avodas Hashem. A person has to sleep, he has to relax in order to be a healthy, happy individual. He can't sit around all day and all night. He's going to crack up. He's going to die. He has to eat. He has to sleep. He has to relax. When he's already sufficient to relax, then he has to do Avodas Hashem. He has to do stuff. He has to move, you know, he has to sit around, do mitzvahs and whatever. When he's done too much of that, And he's not allowed to do all of this in such a way that it should be so regimented that it should make him nervous. Can become nervous, take break in the shot, to relax. So he has to do everything in the Shem Shamayim. The relaxing, with the eating, with the drinking, with the sleeping, and everything has to be taught in the Shem Shamayim. It comes out that even if a person is a person, he won't be more of a Hegdish. When he eats and he sleeps and drinks and whatever he does, is all the chains of Raya. It's all Hegdish. That's not Shaya. How is that? That's impossible. For most people, it probably is impossible. And Barsham told him, no, it is possible. You're going to see. Your son will lead a life like that. That's why he told him, don't make a move. Don't be playing with your son. He's going to make a covenant that has no kids yet.